Well, Father, as we open up your word this morning, it's always our desire that you will teach us. Our hearts are always ready to hear from you. Your word is powerful, powerful unto salvation. And so teach us this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. The lesson this morning is taken from 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 26. It's a part of a story in the life of Elisha. I'll read this verse. Is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. Probably the most popular question, most common question that is ever asked in your life or that you ever ask someone else is, how are you doing? And the most popular answer is, fine. I'm doing just fine. How about you? And they always answer, fine. Well, this morning we're going to look at a story from the Old Testament where we find this question asked, how are you? And the answer is, fine. It is well. And we're going to see why this woman who made this answer, this reply, and see how it fits to us. About 53 miles north of Jerusalem is a place of an ancient city called Shunem. It was beautifully located on the slopes of the Jezreel Valley. It was full of parks and fountains and trees. And from that little city, you could see across the valley some 15 miles across the plain of Esdraelon to Mount Carmel, which was about 15 miles away. And you could also see across this valley to the slopes of Gilboa on the south side. Now here's what we know about the city. There was one family that we know about. We know how many were in that family. There were three. There was a father who was older. There was a mother. And there was a little boy who had been given as a miraculous gift to this mother. In the same way that Samson was a gift, Isaac was a gift, Samuel was a gift, John the Baptist was a gift, and even Jesus was a gift. And so this little boy had been given to this woman as in a miraculous way. We know a little bit about their home life. The mother was a great cook. She was a great and a godly woman. The father, being older, they had land because he was working in the fields. We also know that this prophet, Elisha, used to travel up and down the road and pass through Shunem. And when he was there, he would stop. Well, the house of this woman, the Shunammite woman, must have been Elijah's favorite place to stop when he was passing through. She enjoyed his company so much that she went to her husband and said, let's build a little room. Let's make this a B&B. And when he comes down, he can stay in that little room attached to our house. And let's put a bed in there, and let's put a little table and a chair and a light so that he can have light there, a lampstand. Because she wanted this man of God, this prophet, Elijah, to feel as comfortable as he could be, and to feel at home whenever he came through. We know something else from the story. During the harvest season, when the dad was out in the field with the reapers, the little boy went out to be with his dad. And when he was out there, he began to feel bad. He got a headache. And so the dad said, well, to his servant, take the boy back to his mother so that she can care for him. And so the servant took the boy back, and the mother was holding this little boy with a headache in her lap. And the boy died about noon, the middle of the day. And when he died, the mother didn't put him in his bed, didn't put him in her bed, didn't call the funeral home. She simply took him to Elisha's bed and left him there. And then she told her husband, I'm going to go see Elisha. I need a saddle, a donkey saddled up for me to go. And her husband said, you're just going after a wild goose chase. This boy is dead. What can he do? He's 20 miles away at Mount Carmel. There's nothing he can do. Well, she left and went some 20 miles across the plains. And when she got near to Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her coming. And he told his servant, Gehazi, go and ask her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she said, it's well. Everything is fine. I'm okay. It is well, what? God had given her a son, and now he has taken that son away. And you know, just because we're saved, and because we're Christians, and because we count on the Lord, and because he blesses us, he also sometimes takes a child away. Have you ever felt like God has taken something away from you without reason that you didn't understand? It happens all the time. In fact, many people who have a tragedy like this, who lose a child or end up a marriage that is broken or finances that are broken, end up cursing God. Break away from him. I don't want anything to do with a God that would treat me that way. This is a God of love, and yet look what he's done to me. And so we need to learn from the example of this woman. She had extraordinary faith, even through her hard circumstances. And when everything looked very, very grim as could be, she said, it is well. She kept on going. And so when things go wrong in our lives, we can't just stop. We can't lose our faith. We have to keep on going. You want to be well? You want to say freely, it is well with me, it is well with my soul. You find it strange that when she was asked, well, how are you doing? How's your husband doing? How's your child doing? She'd lost a child. The boy was dead. Her husband was agitated with her because she wanted to go see this prophet on a wild goose chase. He was telling her, don't do this, but she went. And when they asked her, how are you doing? She said, everything's just fine. Everything is well. Well, to be well in your life, in my life, we have to be like the Shunammite woman. Is it well with you? For everything to be well in your life, you have to be well yourself. And to be well yourself, you have to have the proper relationship with Jesus. It's just that simple. Anything else that I say is just added to that. If you've never been saved, then it doesn't matter how good you are or how many times you've been to church. It doesn't matter who your parents are. Even if you're friends with the Pope, it doesn't matter at all because you won't be well. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've accepted him, then I would ask you this. How is your relationship with Jesus? Are you on speaking terms with him? Is there sin in your life that's preventing that fellowship? For things to be well, you have to have that relationship with him. Some of the most miserable people that I know that have accepted Jesus have sin in their lives, and that creates a separation between themselves and between Jesus. And there is no relationship. And they're not able to talk with him, to share with him, to pray with him. So to be well, you got to be well with Jesus. Well, maybe you think, well, I'm well because I have food and I have clothing and my bank account is growing and my possessions are on the increase. But if that is all there is to being well, then it's not very well at all. Not very well at all. For you to be really well, you have to think about things of the future. You have to think about your eternity. You have to think about your relationship. You have to think about your soul. It is well with my soul. That's your eternal state. Where are you going? Where are you headed in life? Has your soul been awakened? Have you found forgiveness in Christ? Do you have a relationship with him? Is he precious to you? Are you walking in newness of life and righteousness of life? You have to be well with Jesus. You have to be well with your spouse. Is it well with your spouse? Sometimes a man and a woman won't come to church because they've had some kind of a fight before. That's one of the reasons that Scripture tells us not to be unequally yoked. Because you're going to have this strife and this struggle and this pulling one way. You know, you can't have one pulling this way and the spouse pulling the other way. It causes turmoil and pressures and strains in your life. And so you don't come. I wouldn't be up here this morning doing what I'm doing, or in church or Sunday school, if I didn't have the support of my wife. We have to work together. And so she encourages me and gives me strength also. So men, we're called to take a stand for our wives. We're called to love them. We don't do a very good job of that. We love ourselves, we know that. But we're supposed to love our wives like Christ loved us, willing to give his life. And wives, you really are supposed to submit to your husband and out of love for Christ and submission to Christ. Is it well with you? Is it well for your spouse? If you want to be well, you have to be well with your spouse. Well, let me ask you this. Is it well with your family? Families can be really, really tough. You have to be totally well with them. Teenagers that are rebellious can be tough. Parents of a wayward child can cause a parent to cry. Parents of a pregnant teenage daughter can make them think that that's the end. There's no hope. There's nothing left. There's no hope. And then there are parents who could care less whether their kids come to church or not. It doesn't seem to matter. It doesn't seem to be important to them. Our role as parents is to raise them up in the way in which they should go, which is toward Christ. And when they are old, I don't know how old, maybe 20, 30, 40, 70, they will return to it. That is our role as parents. That is what we're expected to do. It's you have to set boundaries for them also. Now, that may be the most unpopular thing you can do for your children is to say, you can't do this. Here's how late you can stay out. I expect you to do this. Their parents don't do that. The children become the rulers of the household. The question is asked, is there a parent in the house? And often there is not. It's a very difficult, unpopular decision that parents have to make. My own children, I have two of them, they're proof of this. My son, John, found it very difficult to obey our rule about curfews. And as a result, he was grounded most of his life while he was living in our household. I did some things that, I insisted that he follow simple rules like being at home. And he had a curfew, but he didn't know what that meant. We didn't have cell phones back then, and so Carol would sit, I would be upstairs asleep. Carol would be downstairs looking through the window, waiting for the car to come down the street and hoping it would pull into the driveway, that it was our son. Now Jill, that was a different situation. She didn't have a curfew. She seemed like she was always home when she needed to be, didn't have any problem, or so we thought. We found out later in life that she had some pretty unusual things that we didn't know anything about. Maybe she should have been under a curfew at the same time. But we had rules, and I think that I can see the result of those rules today in both of them. And so, how is it with you? Is it well? Is it well with you? Do you have a proper relationship with your spouse? Do you have a proper relationship with Jesus? Do you have the right relationship with your children? Would it be well with you if right now Jesus were to call you home, if he were to require your life? What do you most love? Is it Christ or the world? Is it Christ or your sinful desires, your pleasures? Is it Christ Or the increase in your bank account and your honor? Is it Christ or yourself? What is your chief joy? The Christian rejoices in Christ. Is he the object of your rejoicing? How are you living? You know, the way that most people live gives you a pretty good idea about their walk with Christ. And pretty well, whether you can tell whether it is well with them or not. The song, "It Is Well With My Soul," came about this way. A man named Horatio Spofford wrote this song in the 1800s. He had sent his wife and four daughters on a ship ahead of him, and it collided with an iron sailing vessel and sunk. The four daughters that he had lost their lives, along with 222 other people. 46 survivors made it, including his wife. And when she got to Wales, she wrote, she drifted to Wales with a bunch of others on wreckage from this ship. And when she got there, she sent a wire back to her husband that said, "Saved alone," two words. And he immediately booked passage on the next ship, and he passed over the point where the ship had gone down and where his daughters had been lost. And when he was there, he penned the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And so my prayer is that all of you can have the faith that the Shulamite woman had, and the faith that this Horatio Spofford had when he wrote this song. You know, the rest of the story is that when the servant came out and asked, "How are you doing? How's your husband? How's your boy?" And she said, "Everything's okay." She wanted to go to see Elisha. And she ran into him, and she told about her boy. And Elisha said, "Well, I'm going to send my servant ahead, and he's going to lay a staff on this boy." And the woman said, "No, you're coming. I'm not going back without you." And Elisha went back and laid on this boy and prayed with the door closed, and he could feel the warmth of this body's coming, growing, and the body became alive again, and the boy became alive again. And so what was her faith? Her faith was that God had given her this boy, and God took this boy, and God was going to give her this boy back again. That was her faith. She believed. We talked about believing is seeing. She believed that God would, and she saw it. She saw it happen. That is faith. If you answer the question when somebody asks you, "How are you doing?" and you say, "Fine," I would hope that your soul is doing well. Because if it is doing well, then I can tell you that nothing else matters. You can face any difficulty, any trial, any tragedy in your life, and not turn away from God, but turn to Him. You know, we say when things are going good, God is good. When things are going bad, it's the same God. God is good, the very same one. I pray that it is well with your soul. Let's pray together. Father, we recognize that for things to be okay, we have to have an okay relationship with you. We have to carry that further into our family life, with our spouse, with our children, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with our friends, with each of those that cross our paths, Father. And then we can look at them and say, truly we can say, within my soul, it is well. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.